Why sirens have this view that if you're going too far one way, then after a while you may be driven to go a long ways another way. It's kind of like, I mean, in Europe they went further towards totalitarianism and fascism than we did, but now maybe it hurt too much, and so they move very further now than us in some democratic ways or socialist ways or something.
Yeah, that might be part of it. I've tried to analyze it, but I don't quite get it figured out, because we still are basically a Eurocentric culture. And why did we swing to the right? Why did Reagan rise up and all this right-wing reactionary attitudes towards the free speech movement, when places like Holland and other countries in Western Europe had more open arms and listened to their youth and accepted them? Whereas here, it's still going on, the hatred here against that attitude and demonizing
America. You think there's a problem in this society? Often you're sort of a rebel, whether you want to be or not, if you just kind of be honest and active what you believe in sometimes. I mean, you kind of get that thing of rebel or troublemaker pinned on you if you come out about certain things you might believe in, you know?
Which are actually maybe very moderate in their viewpoint. You get accused of being extremely radical and troublemaker. I know
you don't have to want to hurt anybody. It's not that, or try to. It sounds like you're trying to hurt people, but it's just that, you know what I mean.
I run into it all the time, including among my own gay brothers and sisters who are very conservative and homeowners. I speak out about the poor gays. What about rent control issue? I've even gotten slammed out of news groups and the internet and other places for my reasonable liberal viewpoints. Forget about any radical ones I have.
It's
so
very strange. It's very strange because, do you know about the Society of Janus in San Francisco? I've been a member since 1978. I stopped going to meetings a long time ago, but I still send them cartoons. In exchange, they give me membership. They sometimes use the cartoons in their newsletter. But they started out more as a bunch of free spirits, and by now they've tightened up so much. It's like what was once maybe something elastic or a creed has become a straitjacket.
Well, then we have
to get time into some of the PC stuff. Instead of being an elastic thing that helps you expand, it's become a straitjacket.
Yeah, well, I think any radical or even very liberal group can only expect to fulfill some of its goals in 3 years. After 3 years or so, they're going to have to assume they're going to become to the right or conservative as they're watered down by other people who have more conservative viewpoints and as they're infiltrated. So you have to look towards anything that's spun off from that to get back the liberal thing. So I think any group that wants to be really radical must have within its contract an automatic dissolution of its organization after 3 years, assuming also hoping that there would be other groups
That is interesting. That is interesting because I think that's really happened with Janus. It's more and more you do it for the organization. You don't do it for truth. You don't do it to help anybody.
Yeah.
You don't even do it for yourself. You do it to serve the organization. You make a kind of a great big thing out of an organization, like an idol or something, and after a while you're just kind of, you're losing a lot.
Well, that's the reason why I'm a freelance gay activist. I don't fit in very well with a lot of these groups where they take my ideas, but they're not very sociable. I can't, make them part of my life. I'm just hanging in there till we get more liberal times, I guess, from what I learned.
Now, long ago, like the late 70s, early 80s, when I was going to meetings of Janus, when they were really freer spirited and stuff, I heard something that interested me, how they say some people have the attitude gay people should stay in the closet. Well, I heard that a lot of the vanilla gays have the attitude that gays in S&M should stay in the closet as far as S&M concerned, because they're the black sheep in the family, cover it up, all that. So don't come out in the open like right about being gay, but if you're also in S&M, oh no, you're doing a bad name, stay in hiding, or something.
Well, anyway, S&M is basically crosses all sexual cultures, and so it really doesn't have anything to do with the gay issue per se. You have S&M in straight world too.
That was interesting to see in Janus, because it is supposed to be open to all genders, all sexual orientations. I would see people of different, orientations, genders, whatever you want to call it, all that sort of thing. You could have women and women, men, men, women, all that sort of thing.
Right. OK. Okay, well, we can continue more. You can talk more if you want or whatever. If you want to take a break and so forth. We're almost at the end of the tape here. I have to flip it over.
Do you think there's maybe we could, I could talk about just one more thing, maybe not too long if we don't have much tape.
No, I have plenty of tape.
We're just reaching one side. Oh, I see.
And I have three more cassettes in here. You're welcome to talk about anything you want, too. I just want to know, we're reaching the end here, and why don't I just flip it over?
Maybe that sounds good rather than be cut off or something.
It occurred to me, like, I got so sick and tired of society putting down outcast people, including homeless people, so I figured I want to give them a voice on the web. So that's why I got this little cassette recorder, and it's working. So anyway, what did you want to talk about?
Something you said made me think about it. It seems to be an unhappy thing that over and over again, people want some other people to be against some category of people look down or be against. I don't know. It seems to go on and on. I'm not trying to say it's inevitable, but, like in Berkeley, you're not supposed to, be down on Jews or blacks, et cetera, or gays, really. A lot of people think it's okay to be down on homeless people, so there you go.
I know. But I also find the case, a lot of liberal heteros think they know what gay is. I think they know what gay is and think they're gay-friendly, and they won't let a gay person correct them and say, shut up. Basically, they say, shut you up. Or when a gay person says, we really don't have equal rights yet, and they'll say, well, yes, you do. Shut up, that's that. And they won't listen. They think they know what gay is, so they wind up thinking that they're gay-friendly, yet they expect a gay person to act out a stereotype like they're actually a female locked in a male body and stuff. And so I find the truly liberal or truly gay-friendly heteros a lot fewer and further between than a lot of gays and straights think they are. So it's like that in Berkeley, too, because I've tried to interview homeless people, homeless gays in Berkeley and San Francisco. They're hard to find. Why? Because they're still homophobia. They have to stay in the closet of the streets. They're so vulnerable. So I decided, well, I'm going to just interview homeless people in general. Eventually, I'll find my way to finding out this and that person who is gay or lesbian who would like a voice on the web. It's sad to see, Brooke and San Francisco about as liberal as we have in this country, and it's not really that liberal. Not today, not these days.
There's certainly some crap done in Berkeley, although I really feel San Francisco is a grimmer city than Berkeley.
San Francisco.
Grim to me. I even when I was a kid, it seemed grimmer.
Well, for a while, when I came to San Francisco, I came out here homeless in 73, and would bounce back and forth, hitchhike between San Francisco and Berkeley. During that era, the tail end of the free speech movement, I guess, I found a lot of nice casual attitudes in San Francisco and Berkeley. Those nice casual laid-back attitudes where if a person wasn't home, you could hang out on the doorstep. There were people outside a lot, even in the daytime. Not like today where they're all at work and everything's like a ghost town, even though the neighborhood's nice. In Berkeley, there's still that friendly foot traffic. There's still people you can talk to who are open-minded. Although, the beautiful neighborhoods in Berkeley in the evening, it's still like a ghost town. But still, hasn't gotten as cold and hard-edged as San Francisco has, although Berkeley has lost a lot of what was here in the 60s and 70s, too.
Of course, it's not all one way. I remember, when I was going to jazz meetings, this gay guy who was a sadist and his partner was a masochist, he's talking about how he's trying to do something with a gadget on the guy's penis, but the thing is, something went wrong, and he couldn't get it off, and you got to get this thing off because it's just, you're always supposed to have it on for a certain length of time. I can't be more specific for that, but he called the fire department in San Francisco, and they sent some people over, and they got it off, no questions asked, and took care of it, and left, and no trouble. So this guy was praising San Francisco for that, for being away.
That was then. This is now.
Now, one thing is, and also, too, you can be treated differently if you're a professional person or a middle-class person than if you're underclass person.
That's right.
There's that distinction.
Because my just being gay doesn't qualify to be accepted among gay people at large. If I don't own a house or a fancy apartment, don't have a nice car, don't fill the status quo, I'm excluded out of a lot of things. If I speak out for gay homeless, forget it,
Well, I think one of the things that more people are agreed on in this country than, I guess, or anything else is that if you hold a job, you're out. I mean, if you're not got a regular job, they can recognize.
Right.